This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
This is Clay from Skilled Gentleman Podcast. You're listening to Handgun World Podcast with Bob Main.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode 400. Here we are. Can't believe it. Episode 400. Thank you very much to all of you for making this show happen. You folks really do make this show happen because you continue to listen each and every week. Here I am talking about more gun stuff on episode 400. I really appreciate it. This show is over 7.5 years old, and I've just had a blast every step of the way. I can't say that there haven't been any negatives. There's been a few negatives, mostly a lot of positive stuff, and you guys are the reason why. So, thanks again. Introductory music for this episode and the outgoing music is Ozark Revival. A lot of you have been asking, who is that? That's Ozark Revival. You can find out about them at ozarkrevival.com. And that name of that song is You Ain't Getting My Guns. It's appropriate. So, for episode 400, Ben Branham is my special guest. We answered a lot of voicemails and a lot of emails from listeners. I promised this episode was going to be about you, the listener. And even though a lot of you called in to congratulate me on 400 episodes, I thank you for that. But I wanted this to be about you. I wanted to answer your questions, take your comments, and I wanted this to be about the listeners, all of you. And many of you did participate and sent in voicemails and really good emails. Not everyone can make the show, otherwise this show would be way too long. But we picked the best ones. There are the ones that we thought that we could provide the most information to you. And here we go. Well, folks, joining me for my 400th episode, I told you it would be someone special. It's none other than Ben Branham.
Yay! No, not yay me. Yay, 400 episodes for Bob. Good job, Bob. And yeah, I'm special, just not as special as, well, you know. But Bob, congratulations. 400 episodes, man. I was just thinking, we're sitting down, I'm like, how many people have done things 400 times?
That's a lot. Yeah, that is a lot. And, you know, as I mentioned in the intro to this, I'm extremely honored to have enough listeners that keep listening every week to be able to do 400 episodes. I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. I'm still having fun. It's still worthwhile because there's still plenty of listeners and even a little bit of money to be made doing this. So, you know what? It's I'll keep on doing it as long as people keep listening.
I agree. I'm going to keep doing the same thing. But yay, Bob, I'll keep listening as long as you keep making our shows, man. I'm just honored to be here, to everybody here. And, man, I'm honored to be your friend and that you would ask me for the 400th episode to be on. I am speechless. Can you hear that? I don't know what to say.
You're very welcome. Well, I promised everybody that this show would be about the listener. And I've got three voicemails that I want to feature on this episode and some emails. And I figured that Ben and I could address these together. So let's listen to the first voicemail.
Bob, this is Rob Morse. I'm in the Self Defense Gun Stories mobile studio. On your show, you asked what I appreciate about the Handgun World podcast. You minister to us. You make me think. What is a firearm for? What is self-defense for? Is it for liberty or is it to protect my family? And how are those combined? Do I need to practice at the range? Do I need to dry practice? Or do I need to have the moral clarity, the mental preparation that will save me many seconds as a potentially dangerous situation unfolds. You ask yourself those questions throughout the year from different aspects over and over. You share them with us. And again, you tickle me about what I don't know. You make me a wiser man. I realize my ignorance and how large it is. Please keep it up. Talk to you soon.
I'm quite humbled. Ben, what do you think?
That was a really nice message from Rob, and I know him, and he's probably smarter than we are. So hearing that from him, he's a really great guy. I've been on his show, and making you think. That's a great one, you know, and he says, you know, ignorance is not stupidity. There's two different things. Ignorance is you just don't know something. Stupid is you're just stupid. And I like how he just says, you know, you make him think and become less ignorant about different subjects. And I got to say, he's right about that, Bob. I've listened to your show for I don't know how many years now. And you've always made me think, and I generally hear something that I don't know.
Well, one of my goals is to get people to think. And sometimes I say controversial things. Sometimes I say things that people might not always agree. But I want people to think. And like I say a lot, I don't want people to agree with everything I say. Because there's something wrong with you, I think, if you agree with everything I say. Seriously. Because I'm not, who am I? I'm just somebody that's kind of learning like everybody else and sharing the information. But as long as I can get you to think. So, Rob, thank you very much for that wonderful voicemail. That was great. Thanks for the nice compliments. And you need to listen to Rob's show also, Self-Defense Gun Stories. It's very good. He has a lot of people on, like you and I, Ben. We've been on that show. He has a lot of people on there analyzing defensive gun uses. It's pretty good.
And he did say something that made you think in there. You know, he's asking, what should you do? Should you dry practice? Should you go to the range? The one that people tend to not do, and we did this when we sat down at the restaurant today. We looked at where we were going to sit, and you're like, can I see the door? I'm like, no, not really. I can't see the door either. So what do? We rotated two seats over so you could see that door, I could see that door, and we had a quick plan. We can go out there. And that's the stuff that going there mentally first, thinking about this all the time, is the one that's going to give you those extra seconds that Rob mentioned to keep you alive.
Yeah, excellent. All right, let's go to the next voicemail.
Hi there, Grant Gallagher here in New Jersey, returning a response for calls to your Christmas show. Listen, what do I get out of your show? What I get more than anything is someone listening, speaking to me, who is completely honest and straightforward in their opinions and what they think and training that they do and what they like and what they don't like. Really enjoy that. The other thing I get as a trainer myself is listening to people giving opinions and letting me know what other people think is good and bad, and that helps me as a trainer overall. So good luck with 2017, Bob, and good luck with the show, and good luck with the new network. You guys all work really hard, and you deserve to be successful. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Ben, what's your comments on that?
I love your accent, man. I wish I had a cool accent like that.
Yeah.
I think I could do more podcast listeners if I had a cool accent like that. Man, Mr. Gallagher, thank you so much. That was an awesome. You know what? He was right on. Everything he said was perfect, Bob, and that's why I listened to your show.
Well, one of the things that I'm glad he called that in because, you know, I think he does some training as well. And that's the other thing is that, you know, Ben, you and I do a significant amount of training. And we're always learning things. And if there's any way that I can or you can help another instructor perfect his or her game, that's also what we're in the business to do. Because, you know what, we all have to stick together as firearms instructors. We're really pretty much all trying to send the same message out there. We might teach things a little bit differently, and we do, but we're all trying to get everybody to the same goal, and that is be able to improve their defensive shooting skills.
Well, and I'll go one step farther than that. If you're an instructor, listen to this. I want you to be immensely successful. There are so many good people in the world that need to defend themselves. There's no way that I can help all of them. There just isn't. And I have come to the conclusion that is my purpose in life, is to help people in their worst times and to be prepared for that stuff. And I really want every good person to be able to defend themselves and to stay out of trouble. And so it makes it for the bad guys should be afraid of us, not the other way around. So all you guys that are instructors out there, anything I can do to you, I will help you as much as I can, because I really want to see the world be a better place. by just teaching everybody to defend themselves.
You know, Ben, you just brought up a really good point. Thanks for saying this. The bad guys should be afraid of us. Well, that's profound. That's profound. You know, I still think we're at the point where most of the bad guys are not too afraid of us, but it's starting to turn the other way, mainly because there's more people carrying now than there ever used to be. I mean, that's just plain and simple. But yeah, we the bad guys should fear us, shouldn't they?
I would love to talk to the bad guys that fear all the good guys. They should be deathly afraid of trying to rob good people and deathly afraid of being caught burglarizing your house or your car. That would be awesome. I bet there'd be less crime.
Well, it's proven. It's very proven. I mean, John Lott's the best at doing this, at proving that, you know, more guns does equal less crime. But the thing is people also have to know how to use the guns. Because one of the things I'm convinced of is even if you use your gun when the bad guy is convinced that you don't know how to be effective with it, he's got the upper hand again.
He does, because he does violence for a living. It's what he does for a job. It's how he makes money. He has studied it for the last couple years. And if you're not studying, and if you're not practicing, the dirtbag is. So hopefully, and there's been a lot of studies that actually proven that. I don't know if you've seen one. There was one out of L.A. a long time ago that they kind of went through, a psychologist is asking all these really bad guys that were in prison, what are you afraid of? The cop on the beat, they all said, nah, we don't care. He's either going to fight us or we're going to fight him. He can pull his gun. He's not going to do anything. And if he does, I get money for the rest of my life. So they're not really afraid of police officers. But they all did kind of admit that they are afraid of grandma pulling a .357 Magnum out of their purse, shooting them in the head, and then when they're on the ground, walking over there and finishing the job. So, you know, they are a little afraid of us. But the more we actually can defend ourselves and the more it actually happens, the more afraid they'll be of us.
I don't know about the finishing the job part, though. If he's laying on the ground, he's not a threat anymore. He's not a threat anymore. Just call 911.
Don't do that. That is not the way to do it. But this is what the dirtbags that were caught in prison were actually afraid of. They were afraid of somebody pulling a gun, shooting them, and then walking over there and finishing the job because there's no they don't see the repercussions as a citizen that you'd have that. They only see that they're dead. Don't do that. Just defend yourself. As soon as he stopped being a threat, get the snot out of there. Call 911. Get more help on the way. Your job is to keep yourself safe, not to catch the bad guys. That's why we pay police officers a lot of money. And they love to catch the bad guys. Ask any cop. They want to do it.
Yeah, that's their goal. All right, let's get to the next voicemail.
Hello, Bob Main. This is Dr. Bill Chakas from your fellow self-defense radio networker from the Firearms Chat podcast. I want to congratulate you, first of all, on 400. We're coming up on 150 ourselves, but we've had breaks in between, so we understand. And again, I want you to know that I pray for you and your wife every night. But as far as 400 goes, again, congratulations. This is a milestone for you, and I don't know what you plan for 500, but I've been listening for a little over a year and 3 months, and I will continue to listen. What I love about the show is that even though I am a former tactical guy, you're a practical guy, and you allow me to think about what you address every week. And not that I'm stealing your stuff for our show, because our show is a little bit different. We don't just talk about handguns. We talk about everything when it comes to self-defense firearms. But hey, we're still hoping that you will be on our show as a guest sometime soon. We record on Thursday nights. I know you release on Sunday. Sometimes we record on Friday, sometimes on Saturday, but usually on Thursday nights. And that's, if I can throw out a shameless self-promotional plug, that's www.firearmschat.com or on the Self Defense Radio Network page, Firearms Chat. And again, congratulations on 400. Still not digging the Glock thing, but to each his own. You know, I'm a Ruger Smith & Wesson SIG kind of guy. But I will leave it at that, and God bless you. And I look forward to number 400. We're out.
Well, Dr. Bill, thank you. First of all, my primary goal for episode 500 is to be alive to do it.
500 would be great.
Yeah, as long as the good Lord will let me live another 100 episodes so I can speak to all of you, my first goal will be achieved. Dr. Bill, thanks. His podcast is Firearms Chat. And check it out at Self Defense Radio Network and at firearmschat.com. Ben, what do you think?
Just because he carries a better gun than you, I like him.
Right. He said he's a Smith & Wesson, SIG, and Ruger guy.
Yeah, and I carry a Smith & Wesson M&P all the time now. Graduated from a Glock 19.
You graduated?
Bob is still trying to figure out what end of the gun. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Dr. Bill. That was pretty cool. 400, looking forward to 500. You know, I didn't even think about that far ahead, man. That's 500. That's a ways off. Well, I hope I'm still your friend, and you invite me back for episode 500.
I will. I have a SIG, and I also have a Smith & Wesson. So I'm there. I'm starting to get to the little bit better guns than Glock, but it might take me a while.
He's starting to branch out finally away from a Glock 19. Whew. It only took him like 5 years.
No, you know what? That's what's on my body right now, and it's there to stay. I don't know what it is. You've seen me at the range, Ben. I shoot the Glock 19 better than anything else I put in my hand. I will say, my SIG P229 Legion, wow, man, I am almost as good with that. I am. That's a heck of a gun. I mean, it is worth every single dollar I paid for it.
Yeah, I borrowed that to shoot groups. That was a nice gun to shoot groups with. But, I'm just giving you a heck, Bob. I don't care. Everybody out there, you know, you guys, we're just giving each other. I carry my Smith & Wesson. He carries his Glock. If you carry a Ruger, if you carry a SIG, carry the darn thing. I really don't care what you carry. Carry it and test it and make sure it works. As long as it works with your carry ammo, carry it.
Yep. Okay, so now let's get to a couple of emails. Here's one, Ben. This is interesting. Brandon sends us this email. He said, Bob, I've had my CHL for over 5 years and maintained my skill level with consistent practice, but have not taken any advanced classes yet. Would I be considered qualified for your pistol fighting dynamics art of the first hit?
Brandon, sorry, not the art of the first hit. That one, we expect you to have another class under your belt. You'd be surprised how much you don't know if you haven't actually taken a class, and the stuff that you're going to learn when you take a first intermediate level, or most instructors call it a beginner level class, but a 2-day class or 1-day class on actual pistol fighting. You'll be surprised how much better your skills get, how you pick up bad habits that they can shave off. And then for us, that class is going to start right out of the gate at a full run, and we just don't have time to go back and make sure that everybody has those initial skills. So that's an advanced level class. I would, however, say that we have an intermediate level class in Houston, and then we're going to do one in Dallas also, that it is worth the drive to Houston if you live in San Antonio area. It's only a couple hours. I love going out to that range. There's a couple cool hotels and stuff out there, and the drive isn't bad. And that would get you totally immersed if you wanted to go take a weekend trip out of it.
It's February in Houston and April in Dallas.
But yeah, Bob and I have both let other students into our advanced course that kind of, they have said more, that they had more background than you, and kind of BS'd their way into it. And we have been sorry both times we've done it. So I really want to say yes, because I hate turning away business. And even more, I hate turning away somebody that wants training. But this class, you're going to have to get another class first.
Okay, good. Now, Ben, here's another email. And this one specifically is about, his specific question is about Klinger holsters. And I know that you have experience with a Klinger holster. So let me summarize this email here. He said, Bob, I've been inspired by your podcast and decided to buy a SIG P320. He wanted to know if I have any experience with the SIG P320. Well, I tell you, When Jeff from Dallas, one of our listeners and one of our students, when he came down here to San Antonio a couple months ago with his SIG 320, P320, I shot it. I was very impressed. Matter of fact, we did a whole podcast about it. Did a whole podcast interview with Jeff. We talked about the SIG P320. I like the gun. I think it's a fine gun. What do you think?
If you like the 320, get it. It works great. SIGs are super accurate. They have a nice trigger. They're a little bit harder to get stuff for because they're not as popular as a Glock or the Smith & Wesson yet, but they are a great gun. We sell them like hotcakes at the shop, and every one of them I've picked up has a great trigger on it and a great feel, and every SIG I've ever shot is super accurate. You will not be disappointed with a SIG 320. I could bet you a dollar on that one and be pretty safe.
Yeah. And then Jim also asks, now this is one I want you to answer, Ben. He says, what about the Klinger Stingray holster? It seems smaller than the one at Concealment Solutions. And he said he wanted to get some feedback on that.
Well, that is interesting because if you're out there from Klinger Holsters and you hear me, I'd like to get paid for the spot that I'm going to give him right now.
there you go.
I am wearing one of their holsters right now with my full-size M&P in it. They sent me a couple holsters, and this is one of the ones they sent me to test. And I think it's the Stingray. They have three different versions of the holster. I like the one with the big clip on it, and it's a single clip right in the center. And I'm testing two different versions of that, and I've bought two of the same holsters from them. So I actually own their holsters. They've sent me a couple to test. I'm testing them right now to do an eval and review on them. And I'm liking them more and more. The one I'm wearing right now, I really wish I could remember their names because they have the three different names.
You're not wearing the Stingray? I thought you were.
It might be a Stingray.
I thought that's the one you showed me one time.
Okay, it might be the Stingray because I can't remember their names. This was the one with the big clip, single right in the center of the holster. And if you get it with zero cant, it sits way down low in your belt, which makes it super comfortable and super hideable. But it makes it a little bit harder to get to. If you get their forward cant version, it raises the pistol up out of the belt some more, makes it super fast, but it's not as comfortable and it's not as hideable.
It's not as comfortable as the straight drop?
Not the one because it sits so far into my belt. My grip almost sits on top of my belt right now. So it's so far down that I don't really even feel it when I sit down and I move around and stuff. The one that sits a little higher that I can get a really good grip on when I come out of the holster real fast. And it's a lot faster, I'll give you that. I've been playing with them. But it's not as concealable, and it's a little bit more uncomfortable. And I tell you, I hit my gun on more stuff. But this one, my grip is sitting on top of the belt. It's way down in my pants. That sounds bad. No laughs about that. But it's super comfortable. And for the price, I think I paid like $35 for mine. So I still got Jason Christensen makes some great stuff. His is more expensive. And he doesn't make one of these. And I really like their one-size molded Kydex holster with the single clip because it comes on and off easy at the end of the night. I don't have to worry about anything. I take the whole holster and belt off of my – a holster and gun off of my belt, put it in my safe every night. And then in the morning, I pick it up. I put it back on there. I don't have to administratively handle the gun except for I do check to see if it's loaded every day when I put it on my belt. But it works perfect for my lifestyle, and the price is great. So that's why I said, you guys out there at Klinger Holsters, if you're listening to me, you should pay me for this spot because I'm going to give you a raving review. But actually, their holsters are that good. Before they gave me one to review, I had bought two of them myself.
Well, and you're giving them an honest review because you're using it.
But I had bought two before they had sent me one to review. So I've actually spent my money there.
Okay, good. Well, Jim, there you go. There's your review on the Klinger holsters. I've been waiting to respond to your email for this opportunity because I know that Ben uses one. This is one of the last ones that we'll cover, Ben. And since you're in the gun business, you might know about this one because I don't. I don't have any experience. This one comes from Justin. And he said he wants to know how come I never talk about Taurus guns. Mainly the reason I don't talk about Taurus guns is because I've never used a Taurus gun, really. He says, I'd like to hear what you think about the Taurus. He says, I've owned a PT-840 and a PT-111 G2 and loved both of them. I've heard negatives about them but have never had a bad experience. And so he wants to know about your thoughts on Taurus guns. Or at least I'm deferring this to you because you're in the gun business.
Well, I'm not going to try to be mean, but I'm going to try to be nice, but I'm going to be mean. I would not carry a whole Taurus to defend my life. I just don't have that warm and fuzzy that's going to work every time. And I'll tell you straight up that we send more Taurus guns back to Taurus than anything else in the shop. And we probably sell less Tauruses than just about any other brand. So, you know, our Glock, maybe 1 in 1,000 needs work and my attention as the shop that we sell. Taurus, about 1 in 10 that we sell needs my attention.
Really?
And needs work.
Wow.
It is really high. Do not buy anything from them that is stainless. I don't know what part that it has that stainless steel color to it.
Why is that?
I don't know at what time they had a bad run, or maybe it was just that one time. But we had a bunch of guns, and I think 3 or 4 of them that we actually sent back to the factory because the finish, the stainless steel finish, was being eaten from the inside out because there was rust underneath the finish.
Really?
And when I try to scrub the rust off, because it's guns, every once in a while, nobody wants to tell you at the shop, but every once in a while I'll find a gun that's getting a little bit of orange to it, and I would just clean it up. Well, every other gun in the world just cleans up real easy, no problem. I can take an oily rag and wipe the orange that's starting to be rust off. Well, the Taurus, when I wiped the orange off, it wouldn't come off. And then when I took a brush to it and started scrubbing a little bit to try to make the rust come off, I scrubbed off the finish and found more rust. So the gun was finished on top of the rust. I don't know. And it's only been the stainless version that's done that. The black versions that they sell
have never had
that problem. But it's stainless versions. I'm telling you, 3 or 4 guns out of 10 of them that we got had that problem.
Interesting.
So for me, that's 30%.
Yeah.
The good part about Taurus is if the gun is going to break, it is going to break like the first range trip. They have a lifetime warranty. There was a couple people that were screwed over by their lifetime warranty when Taurus actually got sued for that lifetime warranty and got fell between the cracks. So I don't think Taurus did that on purpose. I just think it happened. They have vowed that they're going to fix that and make it better. And they do a lifetime warranty. Every gun that we've ever sent them, they have sent it back to us fixed. And generally, after they fix it, there's not a problem. There has been a couple that have had to go back to the factory twice to get fixed correctly. So it's just a lot of pain in the butt. And I'm not sure, once the gun is not working, if I can trust that to my life. You know, my Glock Gen 4 I had problems with. And really, it was factory seconds that just needed to be replaced. It was a... not a second. It was just a bad manufacturing spring that somehow I got 2 bad springs in the gun. Nothing wrong with the gun, but man, it took me a lot of rounds after I replaced both those springs to decide, you know, maybe I'll carry this one to save my life. It just didn't give me that warm and fuzzy.
You're okay with it now, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Now I've got another 1,000 rounds through it without having any problems. I'm thinking it's good. So the Tauruses just never gave me the warm and fuzzy, which sucks because all that about Taurus... I like the Taurus brand. They make some incredibly cool stuff. The Taurus Curve that just came out? Mm. What a freaking great idea. Why didn't I think of that? they came up with the Taurus Judge. That thing is just cooler than all get out. I've shot them, and they're just the coolest thing there's ever been on the planet, is that 45 long Colt and the 410. Just cool.
Really? Doesn't get me very...
Maybe,
doesn't impress me too
maybe
much.
You need to shoot one.
Maybe
after
I
shot one. It was so much fun.
Okay.
They put out a couple carbines that they since have discontinued. Hello, Taurus, you suck. Bring back your 9mm carbine. That thing was awesome. Super light. Handled really well. Looked kind of funky. But just had all these great things going for it. And then they killed it off. So they come out with these great ideas. So I like the company in general that they come out with all this innovative stuff. It's pushing the market ahead. I wish they would execute it a little bit better. And I wish they would do a little, and then I would feel better about actually using one of their products for self-defense. So if you want a gun just to go shoot, awesome. I see you want the PT-111 G2, which is the Millennium. You know, Ruger just came out with their American that's in their compact. It's about the same size with the same magazine capacity for another $150. And I would bet my life on it that the Ruger would work.
Okay, good. Good stuff on the Taurus. There's one more part to Justin's email that I want to get your opinion on, Ben. And by the way, he signed his email Sergeant Justin. he's in the 161st Charlie Battery. Justin, thank you for your service. Justin, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for serving this great country. So he says, I'm currently struggling with getting my wife to the range. I want her to carry and understand the dangers of being an unarmed woman in the world. I also want her to understand safety and be safe with the firearm. How do I do it?
Buy her a class with a bunch of women. If you look at your local range, I don't know where Charlie Battery is. And oh, thank you, by the way, for still doing that stuff. I'm too old and too fat to be in the military anymore, but I do appreciate you
Me
guys
too.
That can still do it. I had a blast doing it for 10 years, but yeah, keep doing it. Buy her a class with a bunch of women. You've already talked to her about it. She's heard what you had to say, and she either has blown you off or has found the limit of what she thinks your knowledge is. And it's just not enough. See if you can get her into a class with a bunch of other women. And that's how I've gotten my wife to the range. She won't. I can't buy her a class and send her to go. But when I throw an all women's course, she shows up and she shoots it. Excuse me, I'm dying.
Don't worry, I'll save his life. Okay, we got Ben a nice drink of water, and we saved his life. He's good as new. So we were talking about, you know, get her to a class that has a lot of women in it, and you said your wife shows up to those.
Yeah, the only way I can get my wife to go to the range most of the time is the woman's class that I throw. She'll come out and shoot it. But if you can get her to go with a group of women, you'll be set. And then if not that, think about the range facility and look at it through a woman's eyes of which one you're going to. There's a lot of ranges that I go to that I don't care. There's no inside bathroom. There's no running water. It looks like crap. I don't care. It's a range, right? With the old range dog sitting around. My wife very much doesn't like that. So here, there's a nice indoor gun club here. So when I take her just to go shooting, we go to the nice indoor gun club. Kind of think about that, and maybe you can get her. If you get her a little nicer place, I know it's a little bit more expensive, but if she'll go, make it a date night.
Yeah, good deal, good deal. All right, and Ben, I promise this is going to be the last one, but it's a good one here. This gentleman didn't sign his name, so I can't call him by his first name, but he asks a good question here. He says, how do you teach people when to shoot? Not how or the legal definition, but the you must shoot time. I found most people will do anything and everything, including putting themselves in more danger rather than shoot. How do you teach the when and not only the why? Oh, he did sign it. Scott from Virginia.
Scott, that's that mindset, the combat mindset. And we talked a little bit about it earlier about being able to put yourself there mentally, where there's no other way for them to get away from shooting or dying. And it needs to become to that choice. And that's when you should shoot. Is when somebody's going to die, the only thing you can do to save your life is to take another life. We're good people. That's the only time you should be shooting people is when there's no other choice.
But absolutely people, no other choice.
But getting people to get to that and see that spot coming, because it's a fine line in the sand. And once you go over it, there's no going back. And you can look at the incident from outside and go, oh, this is the point. And you can watch cops in their dash cam. You can see police officers go way past that line when they should have shot the guy. And generally it ends up costing that police officer's life. And it's cool to see this now. But the only way you can get people to do that is to go there in their mind and see, hey, there isn't a time that I'm going to have to do it. And sometimes if they're a parent, it's real easy to see. And I've talked to people, they're like, well, I would never, ever shoot another person because I never. Well, what if they were going to kill you?
What are they, or your kid?
Yeah, and they go, oh, I don't know, but I don't think I could ever take a life. So they haven't gone there yet. Well, what if they were going to rape your wife? What if this person has a knife and is going to cut your kid's head off?
Yeah, what if you're a mom and this person is about to kill your kid? What are you going to do?
And then you can generally get that parent to come out of them and say, no, I would do it to save my kid's life. Well, you know, your kid, my kid is 7. My kid needs me. Bob, you're almost done raising your kid. He's 18, but he still needs you.
Sure he does.
So if I die, I am not there to raise my son. I let some dirtbag shoot and kill me and take my son's father away from him. Because why? I didn't want to take another human life. To me, it's very easy for me to look at. Human life is all precious. But my life is worth 10 times what some dirtbag's life is worth that's trying to take my life. When somebody tries to take somebody else's life for no reason, not just legal, but morally, I think they forfeit their own life, and their life isn't worth anything.
Well, yeah, and I'd like to add to that. You know, our founding fathers wrote things like, you know, they wanted us to have the ability to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, and that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, the right to life. Carrying a gun is about the right to life. You have a right to live. And I believe you've got a right to stop that bad guy from taking your life. That's your inherent right. That's your God-given right to do that. And especially when it comes to your kids or your loved ones. If you don't value your own life enough to save it, that's one thing. But what about your kid's life? Like, you know, you said, Ben, you know, you got a 7-year-old. You know, what about him growing up the rest of his childhood not having a dad? Or let's say that you're a mom, you know, and you got young kids. You know, you want your young kids spending the rest of their childhood with no mom. I know what that's like. I lived that, not because of a bad guy, but I lost my dad when I was a little over 13. And it was really, really traumatic. For the rest of my teenage life, especially. And people have to think about that. You know, that. So, you know, Scott's question about how do you teach someone the when? I don't know if there's actually a way to teach it. It has to be within somebody, don't you think?
They have to be able to go there mentally first. Yeah. So if you can talk them into that mental exercise of when they would actually pull the trigger and take another human life, now you have a reference point to them. And I'm sorry, anybody that... the other thing is, this person may be lying to themselves. I'll never take a human life. I would never hurt another human, no matter what. And so, well, somebody's going to rape and kill your kid, and you wouldn't stop them? Oh, I just called 911. No, no, no.
Oh, yeah. How well does that work?
Somebody is actively raping and killing your child. You wouldn't defend them? If I put a gun in your hand, you wouldn't stop them? No, I wouldn't do that. All life is precious. Well, you have somebody that's lying to themselves and now lying to you. They just don't know that they're lying to themselves. And the other half of it is, I'll put this very, very straightforward. If there is somebody that wouldn't stand up and defend their own child that's being raped and murdered, you shouldn't be in the gene pool. Maybe you should go, because that's just not right. There's very few things that are right and wrong in the world, and that you won't step up and do what needs to be done to save your own child, that's freaking wrong.
Ooh, that's harsh, Ben. But I'm going to say something just as harsh. Because why not? Hey, this is the 400th episode, right? Why not? Let's do it.
The other thing, I said your opinion matters, and he wants to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he wants to hear that. Well, and let me add something to this. I just got done saying that this is about the right to life. I firmly believe that when a bad guy wants to kill you or kill one of your loved ones, I believe at that point he gives up his right to life. If he's going to make that decision, he's going to have to be willing to pay the consequence that he might be running into an armed citizen that's trained, that knows how to do it, that may end his life while he's doing it. What do you think?
Oh, I'm with you. I think they forfeited their own life. I said that earlier. That I know that somebody that's being attacked and raped, I know that person's life is worth 10 times what that attacker's life is worth. I can put a value on human life. I'm very, very good at that. Most of the time, we're all the same, and every life's equal until you do something to forfeit your own life.
Yep.
So if I run into the restaurant right now and pull my gun and start shooting people, I just forfeited my life. My life isn't worth anything. Not that I would do that. That's a gross overstatement of simplifying the problem.
No, but you made a point with it.
But yeah, I just want to make sure that the NSA is hearing this and they're recording this for us, that they don't think I'm going to do that. But yeah, human life is all precious, and it's all worth the same until somebody does something to forfeit their own life. And I kind of like your way of putting it, forfeiting it.
Yeah, they forfeited that right. Well, Ben, this was good stuff. We gave people some good meat here and some good things to think about in episode 400, so I appreciate it.
And I gave you the cough, so there you go.
Yes, you gave me the cough. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to get sick. So let's finish with this. Let's talk about our classes, and let's talk about 2017. Feel free to jump in and correct me if I'm wrong. But next month in January... I believe it's January 17th. Saturday, January 17th. We're teaching pistol fighting dynamics. It was one of the emails that was just emailed to us. Here in San Antonio at Lone Star Handgun. It's a one-day class. So tell people, what does it mean, the art of the first hit?
It's all about coming out of that holster and making that first hit. In my young career as a self-defense guy, I wanted to be a police officer, and I got to talk to multiple police officers that had been in actual gunfights. And every single one of them told me, I asked them straight up because I was already thinking I'm a gunfighter and I want to do the cool stuff and I want to be in the military. And some of it was right after I got out of boot camp in the Marine Corps. I need to practice and learn. So I asked them all, what was the thing that I need to practice the most to survive the gunfight that you've all been in? And every single one of them told me, drawing the weapon to the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have, it's a small sampling size because it was probably only five or six guys that I got to ask that question to. But when every single one of them gives me the same exact answer, even the one that one of his gunfights, he was in three, but one of his gunfights started with his gun in his hand, he still said, practice drawing to that first shot. That's what you need to do the best. So the art of the first hit is all about that, coming out of the holster and making a hit. We do point shooting, so you can come out of the holster and make a first hit when you're up close or when you're in unusual shooting positions where you can't get the gun up to eye level. So you can come out of the holster and make that first hit. It's all about getting out of the holster and making that first hit.
And we're going to spend a whole day on that. It's a one-day class. Before we go any further, I want to mention something. We forgot to say this. This episode's releasing on Christmas Day, so Merry Christmas, everybody.
It is. Merry Christmas. It's like 3 or 4 days before Christmas. I don't even know what day it is. But
today's Thursday the 22nd.
Merry Christmas. I've been loving saying that for the last week. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas. We are not politically correct. Okay? Merry Christmas.
If you are another religion, Happy Hanukkah, all the cool stuff that goes through this, I want you to enjoy the joy of this time of year. If you are mad because for somebody else's behalf, because I said Merry Christmas, go shove it. Merry Christmas.
Okay. So now in February, you're going to teach Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. The reason I'm not going to be there is that same weekend, I'll be taking John Payne's Red Dot Pistol School through Suarez International here in San Antonio.
I found a course to take.
I'm
jealous because I wanted to take the course too, but... Anyways, I'll be out in Houston, 18th and 19th, teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. It's a great intermediate level course that you're going to start out. We're going to start out with that first thing, come out of the holster to make that first hit. And then we'll move into a bunch of different things. By the second day, you'll be running and gunning. We're going to do some advanced stuff. We're going to do some scenario stuff. We even talk about doing the worst case scenarios, doing a hostage shot, and doing a terrorist attack or a mass shooter event. What can you do, and a couple little tricks and some practice that will make you, hopefully, if you ever have it, be able to survive and win.
Good. In March, we're not teaching any classes because you and me and Dr. John Adeen and a couple of other friends that we know, we are going to travel to Arkansas to the Range Master Tactical Conference being put on by Tom Givens.
Is it Arkansas?
Yeah, we're going to Little Rock.
Oh, crap, I don't even know where we're going.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Actually, I'm really excited because we are going back to Darcy, the Direct Action Resource Center, and I haven't been there since 07 where I took a $10,000 course. Thank you guys very much. And I say thank you guys very much because the Marine Corps put me through the school, which means your tax money paid for my school. It was one of the best schools I've ever had, and it was a special ops school. So their training facility was incredible 10 years ago. I'm looking forward to see what it's grown to now, and hoping a lot of the guys that were there are still teaching there, and I can run into some more of them. It was an incredible time with the Marine Corps, but we're going to be at the tactical conference. So if you want to see us, get your tickets and come meet us in Little Rock.
Nah, it's sold out. You can't get tickets for it.
Never mind. Hawk a ticket, come to Little Rock and see us. I don't know. Maybe we'll try to do a meetup for listeners so we can go out to dinner one night.
Now, that would be fun. Okay, and then in April, we're going to Dallas, Quail Creek Range, where we've been many times before. We're teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced in April. I think that's right around the middle of April.
Nope, 29th and 30th.
Ah, what do I know? 29th and 30th of April. We'll be in Dallas. Then in May, we're going to Utah. We're going to teach two-day Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced in Utah. That's a Friday and Saturday class, and we set it up that way. Jason Christensen requested that. He said that in Utah, people will come on Friday because they don't want to go on Sunday. So we're going to Friday and Saturday. We're teaching. What are those dates?
You made me look.
I think it's
now.
The 18th and 19th.
19th and 20th.
19th and 20th of May, Utah. All these are, by the way, you can go to my website. You can go to Ben's website or the Self-Defense Radio Network website. You can find all these. If you go to the listener discount page at the Self-Defense Radio Network, you can find them all there, too. So that's May. June.
June is the scary one. We are going behind the Iron Curtain. We are going to Illinois. And I'm kind of nervous about carrying my gun there, but you know what? We could probably slip in and slip out undetected. Yeah, we're going to go there because I know you guys there need training also. So we're going in there. If you're in that area and you can legally own a gun, please come and see us. No illegal stuff, but I don't know the laws, so I'm not going to complain.
Well, our host is Gary Doherty from the Firearms Safety Institute and from the Polite Society podcast. Gary has assured us that we're going to be cool going there. The range is like about a mile or two from the Wisconsin border. So we're going to fly into Wisconsin, and then we're going to drive to the range. Probably we'll stay in Wisconsin, I would think, somewhere. So to all of my fellow cheesehead Wisconsin friends from my home state in Wisconsin, this class is not going to be far from you. So if you want to train with me and Ben, come on down to, and you'll see where that's going to be located, just across the border to the Flatlands. Anybody from Wisconsin knows what I'm talking about when I say Flatlanders. Sorry, Northern Illinois people. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Didn't mean to insult you. I love you. You're my good listeners, but you are Flatlanders. All right. So that's June. What about July?
Not doing anything yet, but we're trying to get some courses set up. Somewhere in the Northwest would be nice because it's hot here.
Okay.
And it's nice up there.
So we have an opening for July.
Somewhere where it's not going to be that hot.
And then August is going to be great. August, we're doing two classes.
And we're in the north.
We're in the north in August, yes.
We'll be in Ohio the 13th and the 14th with Paul Carlson.
13th, 14th, and 15th. I believe we're doing a three-day class, aren't we?
No, just the 12th and the 13th.
Oh, 12th and 13th.
I guess
okay.
We'll have to confirm that then.
I think Paul Carlson was asking if we wanted to make it into a three-day class. We need to get with Paul on that pretty soon.
I guess, but we better confirm that.
Yeah, we are going to be in the middle of August in Ohio, in the Cleveland area.
But we are teaching it with Paul Carlson. He'll be out there, and the two of us will be out there, and Paul will be teaching some of his real good stuff. And if you don't listen to his Safety Solutions Academy, you probably should. He's got the really cool, like, Jesus voice that I wish I had. And but he's a super smart guy, and he's been doing education his whole life, and he's a competitive shooter. And he can break things down and teach things at a way that I learn how to teach and how to learn when I'm with him. So it's going to be an incredible class. We should have a blast teaching it. And if you come out to that one, you're going to get three different instructors, three different point of views, and just a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah. And then towards the end of August, we're going, for the second time, we're going back to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast is our host there. We did this class two years ago. We're doing it again, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. And it's the last weekend that we can get that range, Paul says, because then all the hunters show up in early September sighting in their rifles. So we're going to be up there doing 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. That's a nice setup up there.
Oh, that was gorgeous. August 26th and 27th. We had so much fun. So if you guys took the class 2 years ago, come out and take it again. Me and Bob are adding things and just subtracting things all the time. But it was just a blast. And having the classroom right there and everything was wonderful. And Paul is a gracious host. We had a blast. They brought in lunch last time. All of the good things. So go take that course. If you weren't able to get there last year or 2 years ago, this one's going to be just as good. And That range was beautiful, wasn't it? It was all lush green with the river running
next to
it.
Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah, that's up in...
It was just a lot of fun.
Yep, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Okay, we don't have anything set up for September, October, or November, or December, do we?
Not yet, but you probably don't even know this. I am working with Paul Carlson to get him down here like the first week in November. Up at his area, it's going to be the frozen tundra up there in Cleveland. But down here, the first weekend in November, it's going to be really nice to be out on the range shooting.
It's a beautiful time in San Antonio, early November.
So we're trying to figure out what class he's going to teach down here, whether the three of us are going to get together and teach that same class that we taught in Ohio, or I'll just have him down to teach his two-day course, or maybe I'll have him bring his rifle or something. But I'm trying to get him down the first weekend in November.
That sounds like a good idea. Why don't we just get him to come down here and teach the 2 days and you and I be a student?
Oh, that would be fun, too. So
we need to be students, too.
Yeah, always trying to be students. I need another class. Yeah, I'm jealous of you in February for going to class, and I don't get to go.
Guess what else I'm going to do next year? In fact, I got to get signed up. I'm going to take Gabe Suarez's pistol gunfighting school in Houston in October.
Cool.
Gabe's teaching that one.
Oh, that'll be fun to meet Gabe. I got to get you to get outside of Suarez International and take some other courses, too.
I do want to do that. I do. Well, I took Tom Givens.
Oh, yeah, that's you did last year.
I took Tom Givens.
That was a cool course.
And I've taken Masada Ayoub's course twice.
That's a good course.
And I would, in fact, maybe in 2017, I will get to somebody else's as well. Yeah, I'm rounding out my resume.
CRG takes some good stuff. I still want to get out to Gunsight. Still got to do that. Smith & Wesson Academy would be awesome. The SIG Academy would be awesome.
I'd like to go to the SIG Academy, yes.
I'd like to go up to the Northwest and meet Clint Smith. That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't want to do that?
So this is just my list of things that I want to go take.
Your wish list now?
Oh, it's getting longer all the time, and I got to get up. John Farnham, he's a good instructor. He comes to our area every once in a while, so I'm looking for a course from him for next year, and I'm going to actually go take. That would be fun. I think I'd like to take one of his rifle courses.
Yep, and yep that'd be good.
The pistol, I've been taking courses, I want to take another rifle course.
Yeah, I think I want to take another rifle course, too. Okay, so I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end this interview with this. I'm going to stick my neck out here. Why not? It's the 400th episode, right? By the way, episode 401 is not going to come out until January 8th. I'm going to take a break. I'm not going to record anything next week, which is the week between Christmas and New Year's. I need a break. I need to forget about podcasting, forget about guns, just be with family and do all that. So forgive me, folks. But January 8th will be episode 401. But anyway, this is what I want to end with. I'm going to stick my neck out there. Next year, 2017, you got to hold me to this, Ben.
Oh, this will be fun.
You're my accountability partner on this.
Okay.
I am not going to buy a gun in 2017. I am going to buy training and ammo, and I'm going to train myself, and I'm going to improve myself some more. I said this last year, and I broke my own promise. I bought more than one gun in 2016. I'm not buying a gun next year. I'm going to spend it on training and ammo.
And guess who helped you buy that gun last year?
Who?
Ben, I helped you buy that gun.
You're a terrible enabler.
Bad influence.
No more guns. Okay. Do I have all the guns I want? No. Do I have all the guns I need? Well, that's debatable.
Probably.
But probably so. I need to just get better.
I was just going to say I agree, but that sounded bad because you're a good shooter already. But yeah, collecting guns is cool, and I did that for a while. But you know what? I have way more fun out on the range shooting them.
Absolutely.
Than trying to find them in the safe or anything. And I got to tell you guys, not just because I'm an instructor, some of the best weekends I've ever had are when we go someplace as students and instructors. When I get to get out on the range with 20 other guys and girls that are just there to shoot and have a good time, those are the best weekends that I have ever in my memories.
Yep.
So... Yeah, the one I got to do is like the one of your guys said, I got to figure out how to get my wife involved with that so she can be more involved in that stuff. The only thing that I've ever done better is actually getting married to my wife on a weekend. But other than that, getting in and out and shoot is so much more fun. So if you guys are deciding whether you're going to take $500 and buy a gun or $500 and buy a class, even if it's not our class, buy the class because the experience you're going to get over the weekend is just incredible.
Now, you know what this means now that I made this promise? It means I got to hurry up and buy a gun next week because it's not next year yet.
Yeah, come see me at Sports Firearms.
I got one more week to buy that one more gun that I want before 2017 hits, and I break my promise.
You all see the problem with me being his accountability partner on that. I'm like, sure, yeah. Bob, you need this new Glock.
It's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
We got the new Glock 17 long slides in.
Oh, please, please, please. Please don't do this to me. Well, today's the 22nd of December. I got 9 days.
You could run over there tomorrow and get it.
I got 9 days. Ben, thanks for episode 400. I appreciate it.
Hey, congratulations on 400. That's freaking incredible.
All right.
And I hope to know you for episode 500. Even if I don't know you anymore, I'll still be listening.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Okay, here's a voicemail that came in after Ben and I did the interview, so I'll respond to this one myself. This is a good one.
Hey, Bob, this is Matt Wells. I was just calling because I want to let you know how much I appreciate and enjoy your podcast. 400 episodes is quite a big feat to accomplish. Now, I can't say I've been there along the way. I am relatively new into the firearm world and the handgun world, if you will. So I've got my own story for what got me into it and how it all transpired and happened. But lo and behold, I've been listening to your podcast for about 3 months now, and I thoroughly enjoy the heck out of it. You know, you've got a lot of great information. You bring on really great guests that have a lot to offer and a lot of great insights and perspectives. And between your podcast and about two other podcasts that I listen to, they're firearm-related, I cannot even begin to explain how much that I've learned. So I think, like a lot of your listeners, once I got into guns, you know, I dove in head first and immediately drowned. I'm just completely and totally obsessed with all things firearm related, and my wife is quite sick of it already, as many guys out there can probably relate to. But everything that you've got to offer on this podcast is great, and I really appreciate the fact that you're very open by saying that, listen to all opinions, perspective, just because you say this is how you like it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to agree with that. And I can definitely respect and appreciate the fact that you're bringing your own opinion and perspective, but also being able to say that, hey, you know, everybody's got their own way. Or I forget the expression that you just used a few minutes ago that was pertaining to just that, you know, take the best and leave the rest. So, I pretty much only got the best from your show so far. I have yet to really come across anything that I disagree with. But I've learned a lot. And I really appreciate everything you do on this podcast and everything that you have to bring to the table for all of us out here, especially us newbies who are still in this world and have so much to learn. Even though I've learned so much, I realize there's still a long way for me to go. But I don't really know what to offer you or to say in terms of what to recommend you talk about in your 400th episode. But I will say that I'd like to get a short summary of the history of your show, like a summary version of the history of your show. And that's a daunting task to think about going back and listening to 400 episodes. But anyways, thank you so much for all you do, Bob, and congratulations on 400 episodes. Bye.
Well, thank you, Matt. Welcome to the firearms world. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a relatively new listener. Some people say they've gone back and listened to some of my old episodes. Hey, I just want to let Matt know and all the other listeners out there, the new listeners that might not know, every once in a while, I replay an older episode. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret that I might be doing next year. Probably once every 5 or 6 weeks, I'm going to re-air an older episode. It's kind of one of the easier ways for you folks to listen to some of the older podcasts. But thanks again, Matt. I appreciate that. And just keep soaking up all of the information that you can soak up in this firearms gun culture 2.0, Matt. Welcome. A lot of great people in this industry. Lots of great people in the firearms world. Don't listen to the negative junk that the media feeds you about firearms people. Terrific, terrific individuals. And I appreciate all of them. And thanks again, Matt. Well, that's it. I really appreciate your time once again for another week. Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope all of you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. As I mentioned in the interview with Ben, I'm going to take a week off. So the next episode, which is going to be 401, will not come out until January 8th. I always release them on Sunday mornings.
and I think you're going to enjoy it. There's going to be some new things for next year. I'll just leave it at that. New things for the Handgun World podcast. New ways of doing things, new objectives. It's going to be the same thing as far as me, your everyday guy, talking about guns. But I'm probably going to do things just a little bit differently, which I really think that you're going to like. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks again. God bless to all of you. Remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.